views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks. Hey, good afternoon. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We start at 11. We go right till 2 o'clock. Here I am, AM 1380, 99.9 FM. Put it in your car radio. And it's WNRI, weekdays again, 11 to 2. This portion, this hour of the show, brought to you by K's, 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket. Whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge, stop into K's. You open up the napkin, and there is the menu. Folks, it is Political Monday, and that means we speak with our one of our political analysts, but he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com, and we want to say good afternoon to Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, we are in the home stretch. Election day, a week from tomorrow. And there's a number of different things we want to touch on with our segment with you. And I want to start off with this to me, I guess we shouldn't be surprised. This has been a very odd, to me, with the governor's race election cycle, with these, what would really are very flattering mailers that went out. From paid for by the Democrat Party, sent to Republican voters. And they feature four color, I believe, Joe Trillo, independent candidate, and President Donald Trump. If you didn't know any better and you looked at it, you would swear that it was, in fact, a Trillo mailer. But instead, it was paid for by the Democrat Party. And then Joe Trillo was so offended at these, he called them attack mailers, that he was then retweeting them on his, or someone was, whoever runs his Twitter feed, on his Twitter feed. What is your, they didn't do, by the way, just one, then they did even a second one, even arriving at the home of Cranston Mayor's Barbara Ann Fenton, who is the First Lady of Cranston. But Terry Gorman got one. At first I was told it was primarily a lot of Republican, registered Republicans in Cranston and Johnston, but then I'm hearing now that a lot of Republicans statewide got it. Just your thoughts on the Democrat Party now. And I like that Catherine Gregg was even trying to catch them on whether or not it was actually an in-kind contribution to the Trillo campaign. And they didn't have any answer on that.
Yeah, well, actually, somebody in my household, registered and unaffiliated, got that as well. And giant, the first one, Bill, they're both these giant full-color mailers, not an inexpensive thing to be sending around the state in this number. And certainly the first one, when you take it out of the mailbox, it looks like a pro-Trillo ad advertising at people who are supporters of President Trump, saying, reminding you how closely they've been connected in the past. And it's the language is all very ambiguous. It's all, you know, he's a strong supporter of the president. It's not language you use when you're putting out an attack ad, as we've already seen from Governor Raimondo and others attacking everybody and anybody for being connected with Donald Trump. When they do it, you can tell it's an attack. This you could not tell. The second one from the Democrats came, say, roughly a week later, was a little bit more attack ad-y. I mean, it showed them. It showed President Trump and Donald and Joe Trillo in a heart together, that kind of thing. That had a little bit more of the feel of an attack ad, but it's definitely, I mean, if you check the politics, there's no reason the Democrats would have feel like they had to attack Joe Trillo to drive his numbers down, unless they really do think something's going to come of his talk of pension reform and they're trying to drive Democrats back to Governor Raimondo. The most likely effect of this, it seems to me, that the intended effect will be to peel off however many Trump supporters they can from Alan Fung, the Republican candidate.
They are trying to do that. I agree with you with then the whole business of, you know, the mailer, the heart one. But the first one certainly was misleading and someone would think, in fact, that this did come from him. But what could really kind of throw this whole thing off, if people were paying attention, is in this part of the country, as you know, Justin, if you are a Republican candidate, you have to You can do one of two things. Many seem unable and they're not sure how to play the Trump scenario. In different parts of the country, it's different. He gets people to rallies. They had that huge rally in Texas with Ted Cruz. Jeff Deal, who is challenging Elizabeth Warren, he is all in on supporting President Trump as he has done. Governor Charlie Baker keeps him at a distance and wants nothing to do with him. I've noticed that in this particular race, you know, the Raimondo people, not only did she go after him in a debate for wearing a Fung hat at the inauguration, but they keep running ads and calling him a fanboy for President Trump and on and on. So, but would really blow this thing out, and getting, we'll get to the Senate race in just a moment, would be that many times there are things, you know, made available to a Republican candidate, such as a robocall from the president or something like that. But the Trillo people, for a while, they were touting to people that the president was going to come in and hold a rally and endorse Joe Trillo. Again, as laughable as that sounds, there were people that did believe that. And obviously that is not going to happen. But how effective do you think those mailers will be?
I don't think they'll be too effective. I think a lot of Republicans in the state are paying attention because of the weird dynamics of the race. And so they know what they're looking at, and they know how they're going to vote and how the president ought to weigh in on that, or how they ought to calculate their support for the president in all of their decision for state office.
And what about, you know, it does go back to the whole B element, if you remember, and that was when, in fact, during the primary, as they just wanted to make sure that Matt Brown was not getting too close, that they did send out that mailer that had the two of them, both, you know, Spencer Dickinson and Matt Brown on it. So this is seemingly one of the things that you can do when you have the kind of money that the Democrat Party and Team Raimondo has.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's definitely it. If people were talking about it, they wouldn't send a decoy mailer to support Joe Trillo. They wouldn't spend that much money on it. But when you're sitting on millions and millions of dollars that you don't have any plausible way to spend in a normal course of an election cycle in Rhode Island, then that's the kind of thing you can do. You can play these games, and it must be fun to be on their staff, but it's kind of misleading for the public.
Yeah. How do you know, Justin, tonight at 5, we're going to see I think the WPRI poll seemingly, I'll go with that they've been the most accurate with Joe Fleming and doing it through Roger Williams University and WPRI. Their polls seemingly have been more consistent. I don't know about the methodology in some, there was one, you know, only one other poll that was coming out, but it had the numbers, you know, way, way off. But how do you think the polling numbers we see tonight, you know, any thoughts on it, or how do you think it affects the rest of the race?
Well, at this point, I think everybody's got their game plan set. There's only so much you can do with a week left to go. You can only adjust so much. The big question, obviously, in the whole thing is going to be how much of a hit Joe Trillo is going to cause in Fung support. And so that everybody's going to be watching that number. My bet, if we were going to wager, is that it's probably about where WPRI had it before, maybe a little lower. Joe Trillo hasn't had a very good month or two.
Do you think a lot of the news that has been coming out about Trillo, Justin, how much effect do you think it has had on him? Meaning, do you think there were people that were considering him, and then when we heard about the news about, you know, him with the incident with Mattiello, going back with the caulking gun, then you had the comment of, I just want to make sure, I don't care if I get 2%. And then you had last week, that footage was certainly eye-opening. Do you think that is having an impact on people that were maybe leaning towards Trillo and now they won't? Or is he entered into a category with certain people that it doesn't matter what comes out about him, they're along with him for the protest vote?
Yeah, well, it's certainly making it a lot harder for people to make that protest vote. I mean, it's one thing if he's just a boisterous Republican representative whom people who are anybody but Fung can latch onto, but he's making that very difficult. I mean, we've certainly seen Patricia Morgan, the former Republican candidate for governor, really toning down her advocacy. She was all over the place on social media, especially promoting him until all this stuff started coming out with the episode in the 1970s with a young speaker, Mattiello. And now this video that's come out of him having, I guess, oil-soaked dirt taken out of one of his properties. The problem for him is it all goes to the same... It's all reinforcing of each other. It's not just, you know, randomly catching some guy using a bad word at a restaurant or something. This is just a consistent pattern of being not only gruff, but the video of him with the oil is, it looks like he was taking oil from his boat and pouring it into the ground so as to not to pay to have it discarded properly, I guess. It all kind of goes together. And when he's called on it, he gets aggressive to the person who's filming him. You just see this pattern over and over again. And I don't know that people who were going to vote for him are going to change their minds so much as people who are more visibly supportive of him. They're farther out on a limb now with all this behavior, and they're having to tone it down, which should make it harder for people who were maybe leaning in that direction to pull the lever down.
I agree with you. And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. I'll speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. You know, it's interesting, Justin, because, you know, like we've said, I mean, Joe Trillo is 75 years old, and he has sold his business, and he's retired. He doesn't hold office, and he's got a $2 million yacht that he was riding around in all summer, even crashing into the rocks. And he's got a beautiful... condo in Florida. He does have a beautiful home here. He's obviously of means. He still owns, you know, has a business of some kind or some property and that type of thing. He's doesn't have to worry about any type of backlash, but you still see on social media, Patricia Morgan, it's kind of, I don't know, uncomfortable even because I've known her for so long, her trying to still keep kind of this... I don't want to be too insulting, but like delusional, still drinking the Kool-Aid company line of, I still think he's the best. He has the best chance to win. He's going to win. You know, the Baghdad Bob of the split screen of, you know, the statue falling of Saddam Hussein and then Baghdad Bob, the spokesman, saying that everything was under control and that there were no forces. They were winning the war. She's still trying to engage people. And I don't think she understands the ramifications of whatever role she thought she was going to have in the Republican Party is completely over. And even the fact that she's saying she's spending her time trying to work with Republican candidates to get them elected just seems even... I don't know what to make of that statement.
Well, the way I've interpreted it all is there was a definite shift after... especially after the stuff came out with Trillo, you know, hitting young Mattiello with a caulking gun. After all that came out, that's when, maybe I just didn't notice it before, that's when I started to notice her focusing on going after the governor, going after or advocating for GOP representatives and senators to be elected. It seemed like a shift in tone to me. So I think she's acknowledged that she's kind of stepped in it a little bit, at least as far as I've seen. And you can probably extrapolate that beyond her as well to people who aren't quite as high profile.
You know, I know of, again, just speak about Patricia Morgan, I know of there was one organization that was looking to maybe bring her in some capacity, and they withdrew it because of her not supporting Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and instead going along with Trillo. So I think there is going to be some fallout. And even, you know, Arlene Violet that writes for the Valley Breeze, she has now stayed away from even writing about the governor's race. And I don't know if she's now having second thoughts about throwing her name in with the whole thing because the whole thing has kind of exploded. But in the final week, so the poll is tonight. The final debate is going to be Thursday night. And then Election Day next Tuesday. The final element of this campaign, Justin, seems to be Raimondo. The bombing campaign has just been about the Cranston police report and, you know, showing Cranston Mayor Alan Fung wearing a Trump hat. And Cranston Mayor Alan Fung has been rolling out different things, whether it was with DCYF or whether it was with UHIP or the fact that they arrested an illegal and then they cooperated with ICE. He has been very steady and getting his message out and changing commercials. I just think it's going to come down to, at the very end, after this poll and Thursday night, what could affect this is if people in the final moment feel that a Trillo a vote is wasted and go with Fung. I think that is the only path to victory for Chris Mayor Alan Fung. What do you think?
I think that's probably correct. I mean, Raimondo had all that money to just keep pouring into ads and mailers and all the PR people who are getting stories across the country talking about what she's done. And then you've got the Providence Journal, which at this point, with their endorsement, seems to be pretty comfortable with exactly where Rhode Island is politically and economically. So it's hard to overcome that. And Alan Fung, to his credit, has been, it seems, usually trying to do kind of more old-fashioned politics of pointing out problems with the current administration, suggesting things he'll do. And you've got this wild card in there of Trillo. And so far, it's been pretty clear that Trillo is the margin here. And a lot of Rhode Islanders aren't going to be fooled by the glossy ads. But if enough are, with Raimondo's, you know, self-burnishing, then the Trillo effect could be the end of it.
Yeah. And she, last note on that, you know, as I was saying earlier prior to talking to you, but if it had just been the two of them, this would have been a very different race. We would have seen polls with the two of them tied. We may have seen a poll with Mayor Fung ahead of her, which then that certainly has more money flying in to his campaign, both locally and nationally. And it would have forced Governor Raimondo to go out, maybe take some chances. Every time you take chances, there's a chance you can make a mistake and errors can happen. So there's definitely some different scenarios that it would have been a very different race. And you can't argue that since the primary ended, that the effect, that the Trillo disruption and distraction, it has certainly had an impact on the race. And it has benefited Governor Raimondo because she's just kind of been able to stay on message, stay in the bunker. She don't see her. She doesn't do any campaign events other than just jobs, official jobs with being governor, and that's it. I want to move on, Justin. Any feel on the race for speaker? Steve Fryers, I thought he's done some very good mailers. It's tough to tell what's going to happen in that district. They did debate the one debate on Newsmakers on Channel 12. I thought Fryers did very well. Matty Yellow has been touting. He got the endorsement from the Providence Journal. That is a tough race to call. I think there's going to be more eyes on it because of, you know, we learned the mail ballot fiasco. I also think, you know, last time there were a lot of Trump supporters that came out that were also then voting for Matty Yellow. And, you know, you're not going to have them this time around because it's an off-presidential year. Any thoughts on the speaker's race in Cranston?
Well, the speaker's office is a pretty powerful one, as people will note. You know, he's brought home more in legislative grants than any other legislator, and that does have an effect. And then you've got this weird dynamic of progressives and Republicans going after the speaker in a relatively Republican district. So it is kind of a tough one to call. Although, you know, Matty Yellow has done a lot of like the car tax thing, and he's trying to shore up his right flank after his near loss last time to Steve Fryers, which, you know, if you want to take a positive lesson from the whole thing, this is a good reason to have people running for office and challenging the incumbents, because then they actually do what people would want them to do. So, I mean, that's the positive take. Otherwise, I'm not sure which way to call it. My feeling is that Matty Yellow has done enough in the past couple of years to shore up where he was weak, and he'll probably get over the line on this one.
You do think he's going to end up winning that this election?
I think so. I mean, I know Steve Fryers, and I very much like him, and of course, politically, I'm much more in line with him. But I think I don't have that same feeling of rebellion, and I think a lot of people have taken that cold, hard look. A lot of the people who might have voted for Steve Fryers would have been people who didn't want the Paw Sox to get the taxpayer backing for their new stadium. So they're going to look at this and say, you know what, Matty Yellow has stood in the way of a lot of the progressive initiatives. So as the progressives are out there trying to attack Matty Yellow, a lot of people who might have dropped out of, you know, gone in the other direction, gone for Steve Fryers, are being actually reminded that Matty Yellow has been kind of a brick wall to some of these things. Now, we've discussed before whether that's his own, you know, kind of corrupt motivation or not, but that's, I think, what's going to stick in voters' heads. So I think it'll be the Speaker will stay in power.
You know what's interesting, and again, folks, we'll speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateGuardian.com on this Political Monday. Justin, what's also interesting about this is you look at, someone was asking me, how come I'm not seeing more debates on television? Well, you look at the governor's race, and as much as Governor Raimondo, she did the Channel 12 live one that was at Roger Williams. The second debate that she agreed to do was not seen. It was live streamed at URI, and that was about 2 weeks ago on a Monday night. That was live streamed through the Providence Journal and Rhode Island Public Radio. She is going to take part in the Channel 10 debate this Thursday night at Rhode Island College that will feature the moderate party candidate, Joe Trillo, Krantz Mayor Alan Fung, and then Gina Raimondo. But the lieutenant governor race, that Paul Pence, I haven't seen any campaigning from him. As far as the general treasurer, I'm going to skip over the whole Mike Riley thing that I didn't. He ran against Congressman Langevin several years ago. It was never as easy as he thought it was going to be. The night he lost, he got up and gave a very memorable speech at the Marriott. Might have caught a bad cue, but been overserved, but gave this thing of, I wasted my money. I should have given it to my kids. This whole big thing. He suddenly emerges and goes on the candidate to run as general treasurer, but seemed to be a half-hearted approach, even, you know, said a couple of weeks ago, don't even bother giving me money. I'm not going to win this race. So there was no debate with General Treasurer. There's been no debate with Dan McKee and Lieutenant Governor Pence. The one Republican, before we get into the Senate, who has been, in fact, trying to engage Nellie Gobea is Pat Cortalesa. There was a story on the front page of the paper on Saturday. He's on the front page today. I think he's raised a very valid issue, my God, with Nellie Gobea. And Justin, you're someone that follows politics. People don't realize we get all these endless, ridiculous, basically useless press releases over the most, mundane things. And she secretly changes something in the office and doesn't say a peep about it till the Journal gets into it. And then Attorney General Nerona is running uncontested. So of the five statewide offices, AG does not. I'm not going to count that guy running against Arona. Obviously, Riley is not engaged with the general treasurer. The lieutenant governor has not mounted a big thing like that. And then I do go back several years ago when Sue Stenhouse ran against Mollis, and then even Catherine Taylor, there was more involvement with the lieutenant governor race. And then Cortalesa did have a forum on State of the State, but Nellie Gobea won't give him more of a statewide forum. I think she's turned down doing anything like Newsmakers or anything else. And then on the Democrat side, I know there was a debate with Cicilline, but his challenger, again, kind of going through the motions, nothing against him. And then you have the Langevin challenger, who does send out some press releases, but I am unaware of any debate between the two of them. We're going to get to the Senate race, but this is part of the problem of one-party rule, is the incumbents, who happen to be Democrats, feel no need to debate their Republican challenger.
Right, and part of the challenge, too, I think, is that the local news media isn't quite as energetic, it seems, in trying to make these things happen and give competitors a microphone. Some of that might just be market. I know even on really local races, in Tiverton, for example, the New Daily News used to do a film debate of every race in that under their coverage area. They don't do that anymore, probably because there's just no audience. People aren't paying that much attention to newspapers. So we're entering a dangerous phase here, I think, where a lot of different angles and forces are making it really difficult to go up against incumbents. And that's why I've been saying, even if you look at U.S. Senate with Bob Flanders, he should have been out there a year or two ago, you know, knocking on doors, looking for news stories. You have to build up until the news media can't ignore you. And at that point, when they know there's money to be made by generating a debate or a story, then they'll pressure the incumbent to actually do the debate. And that's going to, I think people who want to challenge the system going forward are going to have to take a hard look at the longer term work they need to do. You can't just jump at the end and expect that there's going to be this political wave that you can kind of surf through the campaign, because it doesn't quite happen that way anymore.
It hasn't. And in regards to the Flanders campaign, I think part of the problem is it was struggling to find an issue. They tried the the Burrville power plant situation, which White House won't, you know, comment on, even though he's very outspoken about global warming. They were trying the opioid issue, but that has certainly quieted down. And if anything, thank God, because of Narcan, a lot of people are not ODing on that. And then when there was a window of opportunity, I mean, let's face it, the real window of opportunity was that Thursday when Sheldon Whitehouse testified at the, or was questioning at the Kavanaugh hearing, and he embarrassed himself, that ridiculous line of questioning regarding the yearbook and everything else. To me, that next week was a real window, a pivotal window to jump in. And, you know, you almost needed to see Judge Flanders, who I do like and I will vote for and I support, but you needed to see him the next morning on Fox and Friends, and you need to see him all over the local media. And I think they weren't sure how to handle that. And as a result of that, and it's something I've said before, what is amazing to me is Joe Trillo has managed to get all this free media for basically crashing his yacht and all these other stunts that have been pulled of the police report and all this other stuff. And you have a Senate candidate who, by all accounts, during the course of the debate has been, you know, able to hold his own, but has been unable to cut through, you know, trying to attract that free media. And then even last Friday, when they did have the guy in from 60 Minutes who really went after White House for benefiting from these opioid companies, then you had breaking news with they caught the bomber. Another problem that I have seen with the Flanders campaign, and it is a problem that Northeast politicians have, and that is they don't know how to maneuver with the Trump situation. They don't know whether to embrace or not embrace. People should not forget that in 2014, Justin, Governor Raimondo, one of the reasons that President Obama came to Rhode Island is most Democrats around the country didn't want him anywhere near their district. She was one of the few that invited him in because he had become kind of toxic. And in 2 years ago, Governor Raimondo, who had bad poll numbers, no Democrat reached out to her to campaign for them. And she didn't campaign for anyone. She then was up in New Hampshire campaigning for Hillary. So it is not anything new. It has happened in the past. But I think the difference this time is that the Flanders camp, they don't know how to play the Trump situation. They're afraid of backlash. They're afraid it alienates too many people. So you don't embrace him. So then, therefore, you don't fire up the base, but you ignore him, and then people are trying to figure out why they should vote for you over the other guy. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Well, all of that is true, and certainly when you plan out a campaign event and then major news happens, you have to expect that, and you have to build your campaign to be able to accommodate that. And that's all I'm saying. I mean, we were well into this year before it was even a sure thing, I think, that Judge Flanders was running. And I don't think that's, I think when you're running as a Republican in Rhode Island at this point, you can't get away with that anymore. You've got to decide, you know, after this November 6th, anybody who might want to run for office has to decide that and start running and figure out what they're going to do to become known over the next 2 years. And then you get to that point when you're in the October right before the election where the news media has to pay attention to you. You've built up all this momentum that you've been working on for 2 years. When a news story takes your preferred narrative out of the headlines for a couple of days, you've already built up enough equity that's not going to tank your campaign. So I think that's where people have to start thinking when they want to run for office. And it's not easy, and it's not necessarily fair because, you know, Democrats control so much in Rhode Island that you really can come in at the last minute. And there are jobs that you can be given if you don't get the one that you're after and that sort of thing. But I think that's the reality is people, candidates really need to start looking longer term and just building up, going door to door 2 years beforehand. And that way, you know, you're a power to be reckoned with by this point.
Yeah.
And can't be brushed aside. They'll have to debate you because you have 2 years of building up momentum to this point, and people want to see what you have to say. That'll interest the news media, who will put on the debate, push the incumbent to accept the invitation, and so on. So I think it all comes back to that at the end.
That's why we can agree to, I believe Frias will be successful because he basically has the beauty of the two-year cycle is he has still been regularly around there, has been talking to people. People also forget last time around there was a third candidate in the race who got over 200 votes. And so I believe, and it comes down to, because I grew up in Cranston, I know a number of people that live in that area, they all come back to the Frank Montanaro getting that free tuition. That really resonated with people. It's one of those issues that that Mattiello cannot get away from. And I'm going to stay with, I believe Frias will be successful this time. The last race I want to ask you about is the mayor of Providence. That is another one. You know, it's unfortunate. There's no poll on it. You know, years ago, Brown used to poll. We used to get the Brown poll that would come out. The only polling we can that I feel is fully reliable is the Channel 12 poll. But right now, that seems, everyone I talk to asks me, what do you think? And I don't have a handle on it. Alorza seems very, very confident. Dee Dee Whitman, she is up on television. She is doing, I mean, a last dash. She probably could use 30 more days. I thought she did pretty decent with their Channel 10 debate. But this is going to be the get out the vote within the neighborhoods. And the real key with her seems to be, to me, it's going to come down to the East Side. If you want to be the mayor of Providence, you have to win the East Side. Now, 4 years ago, with the help of Dan Harrop, and by the way, Dan Harrop is another one. He was kind of the Trillo in the mayoral race, that he was really running to make sure Cianci wasn't going to win. And every time, you know, even Cianci used to call it Jorge Harrop, because it was like being up against two different people. So we have kind of seen this before, maybe not at the governor level, but as much as people saying Joe Trillo's a spoiler, you did see that with Dan Harrop and Alorza, where it's kind of a two-on-one against Cianci. He didn't take any shots at Jorge Alorza. But coming back to that, Cianci could not do well on the East Side. In fact, they were, you know, very loudly against Cianci on the East Side. So you got to win in other areas of the city. Dee Dee Whitman lives on the East Side. Doves have some friends and supporters on the East Side. I just don't have a handle on that race, other than if Alorza is doing any type of internal polling or just by his actions, he seems pretty confident that he's gonna win come next Tuesday.
Well, yeah, I mean he's the incumbent. Dee Dee Whitman isn't, you know, well known in among the general public. The variable here, though, is, I mean, it's kind of odd. I don't know that the fit of comparing Dan Harrop to Joe Trillo is quite there, largely because Cianci was such a force and a figure in that campaign. It made the whole situation very different. And I think that a lot of Alorza being able to rise up as he did and get compromises from other progressives and work his way through the field to get on the ballot and then to win was a lot of Cianci's kind of focused all that energy on, we have to not allow Cianci to be the mayor again. And Alorza, we've talked about this before, didn't really have an administrative background. There was no real reason to elect him, except he wasn't Cianci. And so that's his vulnerability here. The question will be whether the connections Dee Dee Whitman might have and just dissatisfaction with Alorza's general, you know, learning on the job, whether that's enough for them people to try somebody new. And I think that's probably where it's going to come down to. And he probably has reason to be confident, but it is kind of a wild card still.
Let me go back to, before I let you go, and again, folks, it's Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. A couple different questions. Number one, how do you think turnout is going to be next Tuesday? We already have the emergency voting, so people are already voting. It is an off-presidential year. Most of the time, that means turnout is down. We're going to have to wait and see. But I'm going to say this. I am seeing a lot of Flanders signs. I'm anxious to see in this. Actually, there have been three polls. There was the Del Volpe poll. Then there was the Rhode Island Public Radio, that poll, excuse me, that the Fung people are saying lean too heavily Democrat. And then we're going to find out the Joe Fleming poll tonight. I am seeing a lot of Flanders signs. It's tough because Sheldon has partnered himself with Raimondo. But I'm going to be curious to see just how that comes out, because there definitely has been more people being outspoken for Bob Flanders, certainly, than there was 6 years ago when Barry Hinckley ran against Sheldon Whitehouse.
Well, turnout is pretty consistent. I mean, you get about, I know certainly locally, 60% turnout on a presidential year, 40 to 50% on a non-presidential year. So it is a big drop. The one place that, did better in a non-presidential year was the off-year election when President Bush was in office, and also our governor was a Republican, so that probably both of those gave incentive to Democrats and people on the left to go out and vote. There's a lot of incentive though on the right, especially after the Kavanaugh hearings. I think a lot of people in Rhode Island politically on the right are dissatisfied with Raimondo and probably, maybe ironically, the battle with Trillo, either supporting him or opposing him, and not liking what he, that we're going to have another year of, a third party candidate probably helping to elect the governor. That might motivate a lot of people on the right to go vote. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm not going to hazard a prediction though. But.
Oh, I agree. Before I let you go, give me just your thought. Any race around the country that you think is worth watching? Obviously, the Texas Senate race has been incredible with the amount of spending of Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. And then there are some other, that Arizona, Rhode Islander, Martha McSally, she's in a very, very tight race in Arizona right now. The Florida Senate race is too close to call. The Florida's governor's race is very, very tight. And any other race that catches your eye, or just in general, or even in Rhode Island, you're going to be curious to watch?
Well, as a born-bred Jersey boy, I'm keeping an eye on New Jersey. Also, I'm curious how corrupt a Democrat can be in New Jersey and still win. That's one area I'm curious about. Mostly, I think a lot of us are just going to be watching the whole landscape and hoping something turns out okay. I mean, we have every level. If you're paying attention, you have your local level, the state level, and the national level. We're not in what might have once been termed ordinary times, and so you hope things don't go too crazy across the board. But it's been such a bizarre couple of years. It's just impossible to tell. So I think I'm going to be looking more at the total count rather than any particular race and see whether the Republicans keep the Congress and the Senate and whether Funk can overcome in the general state house, and whether one surprise or another comes forward. It's probably more stress than I can take at this point.
He is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. We're going to talk to him next Monday, one day before the election eve. It's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. I look forward to it.
All right, folks, there he is, Justin Katz, right here on the John DePietro Show. All right, 766-1380. I don't know how things are going to swing next Tuesday, and even nationwide, and we're going to have to wait and see. That is a big question. I was at an event yesterday, and people were asking me about the, who do you think the Dems going to take the House? The Republicans seemingly are certainly going to hold on to the Senate. And I think this is going to be, another election that, as much as the progressives make a lot of noise, I still rely on the silent majority. And I've already seen one of the Red Sox players has already said he can't wait. Let me pull up who it was. He can't wait to go to the White House to celebrate with President Trump. Heath Hembree, I can't wait for the Red Sox White House visit. So, and that's obviously, as you can imagine, playing on Twitter a lot. So, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show, weekdays from now until 2 o'clock. If you'd like to, phone lines are open, 766-1380. I think as much as the media is against the president, as much as they are trying to tie him in with everything negative that happens, I think in many ways the media has overplayed their hand. Now, what happened with that nutcase in Florida on Friday, yes, he was. He was a big Trump supporter. But the same way where that man that shot the congressman was a Bernie Sanders supporter. So I agree with them where they're trying to pin everything on him. By the way, good afternoon. There's Chris Moran. There's the K-Man. Mike Hugh checking in. We'll talk to the K-Man. Let's talk tomorrow. Good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But this is a big week. Coming up at 5 o'clock will be the latest poll from Channel 12. And, folks, this is going to come down to, in the next week, next 8 days, the election is next Tuesday, even though some people have already voted. And that is going to be, when push comes to shove, if people say, I'm going to go with Joe Trillo with the protest vote, or if they're going to go with Mayor Fung. Those are the options. So Mayor Fung has been saying a vote for Trillo is a vote for Governor Raimondo. And it's tough to get away from that. It is definitely tough to get away from that. I think the Raimondo people, they are not fully confident. They have massive get out the vote. You know, she has a different set of priority. She is trying to get to 50%. That's what her goal is. She feels that would send a strong message. She feels, Governor Raimondo feels, the election basically is in the bag. She feels that Joe Trillo has served his purpose, regardless of the motivation. Maybe he thought he was going to win. Maybe he thought he could mount a campaign to win. But the Raimondo people feel very, very confident. But the question, and we've seen this before, at the last minute, momentum can shift. And that's what people need to realize. And you need to tell this to your friends and family and everyone that's going to vote. There is no candidate that is perfect. There is never a perfect candidate. You have to decide, do you want 4 more years of Governor Raimondo? And if you do, then vote for her. There are, she does have voters, obviously. She does have supporters. Or if you want her, you can either vote for her or you can vote for Joe Trillo. But you can't say, I don't want Raimondo. Therefore, I'm going to vote for Trillo. So, and again, I've given Joe more than a fair shake on this show. But at this point, with the mailers that have gone out, that is so complimentary to him, from paid for by the Democrat committee. I mean, give me a break. I'll even say this. It's even reached a point where I think it's insulting. Like, do they really think we're that stupid? They think we're that stupid that we all would fall for that. Boy, the Raimondo people, they have and the Democrat Party, they have a very, very low opinion of you and the people of the state. There's no question about it. 766-1380. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, John. How are you today?
Very well. Go right ahead.
Okay, here's what I got to say. Two comments. One, this morning, my two daughters and I had to go to Providence on another business matter. So she wanted to stop over this place. And you see, I can't see, so I'm blind. And my daughter said, what is this? What's the matter? So there's about 30 or 40 people over there. They're all dark kids. They're speaking a foreign language. They had a fight among themselves over there.
And where was this again?
In Providence.
No, but we're in Providence. Providence is a big city.
Yeah, right near the, what they call, Tory for Tot headquarters.
What headquarters?
Headquarters, Tory for Tot.
Toys for Tots headquarters.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was some fight among people that you feel may have been of Spanish origin. Is that accurate?
I would say more like Guatemalan or whatever.
Well, Island, Providence has the largest Guatemalan population of anywhere in the United States.
Well, here's what I got. When we came back there, and a woman who speaks both languages, she speaks both Guatemalan and English, she told my daughter, here's what happened. One guy got in a fight with another guy, and the woman got involved. And one of the guys said, I'm going to get my gun and shoot you.
Oh, my goodness. She should notify the police right away. She did. Good. Because Providence police are terrific. If there's a situation. What did they do?
Right. Here's what they did. They let the guy go.
Who did?
The police did.
Why? He just said, that's actually assault. He assaulted her by saying, I'm going to get my gun and shoot you.
The problem is, what you said before,
yeah.
The police are told to look the other way.
Well, that can happen sometimes. That can happen. And maybe they deemed it wasn't a threat. They have a lot of things, thank you for the call, to deal with. Remember, it's assault and battery. That was assault. Battery would be if he had hit her. Assault is just that. I'm going to take out my gun and shoot you. So that is, in fact, assault. 766-1380. Folks, again, you I don't think people, you're not going to be able to recognize the city if Governor Raimondo gets four more years. So Mayor Fung has run a very good campaign under very difficult circumstances. And here's something else. You know, some of the criticism, well, he should have united the party. Well, you know, look at what you're dealing with. Sometimes there are people that you can't reason with. And the actions of some of the other Republicans that were in the race don't seem like people that you could negotiate with or reason with. So I don't know how you handle a situation like that. But there's no way to escape that up to this point, with 8 days to go, that without question, Joe Trillo, his third-party candidacy, there's just no debating. It has been a distraction and a disruption for the Fung campaign, period. But the final element is going to come down to exactly as we go into next weekend and Election Day, our people, there's a big difference between willing to then go in and circle the box. This happens many times. If you remember years ago, Howard Dean was cruising to win the Iowa caucus. And then at the very last minute, last couple of days, and he had an unbelievable ground campaign and they're running around with orange hats and all this other stuff. And then the campaign just became unraveled. And Howard Dean then went on TV and did that famous I Have a Scream speech, right? That then he went after CNN and said they played it 150 times. But Howard Dean, if you were watching Meet the Press in the month of December, he was ready to, absolutely. He was ahead in the polls. He had the ground game. He was poised to win the Iowa caucus, and then he was going to roll into New Hampshire, and since he was from New England, was expected to do well there. Now, we now know, you know, John Kerry did well. And then Howard Dean gave that famous I Have a Scream speech where New York Times had that hilarious story the next day saying he reminded people more of Howard Beale than Howard Dean from, you know, the network character. I'm fed up and I just can't take it anymore and yelling out the window. So the momentum is a big part of this. And that's what I'm going to be interested to see. And despite everything, and believe me, the Raimondo camp, they have absolutely emptied the cannons. They have nothing left. She's doing her closing argument. I'm Gina Raimondo. And the basic last question, folks, that you have to ask yourself, and I post this on Facebook, is people don't trust Gina Raimondo. People don't trust her. People are trying to decide who to vote for. I am telling you, she is someone that has not built trust with the voters. She is nonstop fundraising. She scared everyone away other than Matt Brown from the primary. But they don't trust her. And that is something she has been unable to overcome. So in the next week, I think that would be a big part of the closing argument for Mayor Fung, is I am someone that you can trust. And I be the first one. I will gladly vote for Mayor Fung instead of four more years of what I think is an unmitigated disaster with Governor Raimondo. UHIP disaster. DCYF, 20 deaths in 2 years while she's traveling the country raising money. Disaster. Truck tolls, disaster. By the way, the rollout for the truck tolls, disaster. We'll even go back to the cooler and warmer thing, disaster. She tried to steal money out of the colleges to go to Davos in Switzerland, disaster. The 195 bridge construction back in August, disaster. One thing after another. Raiding the Democrat Party in Providence, disaster. All she focuses on is herself. Egomaniac. And even when the economy turns around, and even when you'd think you could credit something to the White House, she says absolutely not. It's been all me. Folks, she's going to be an absent governor. If you vote for her, I hate to say it, but if you vote for her and a vote for Trillo, a vote for Trillo is a vote for Raimondo. Mayor Fung said that, and we'll see what the numbers are tonight, and we can talk about it tomorrow, but it's tough to come away from anything else other than that's exactly what it would be. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to remind you about K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today at 353-9200. Large facility offering used car parts. K&R Auto Salvage. Call them. Family-run business. 30 years serving their customers. Call K&R Auto Salvage today at 353-9200. 353-9200. K&R Auto Salvage. You have a junk car? Call K&R. K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, 353-9200 for K&R Auto Salvage. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Hold on. We may have our friend Sal on the line. Is that you? We may have Sal on the line. We may or may not. His phone has been ringing off the hook with the special that he is offering. And we'll see if we'll have a chance to talk to them in these remaining moments. But again, K&R Auto Salvage, call them. Listen, maybe you need money. It's the end of the year, Christmas shopping, whatever it may be for a junk car. Call K&R, K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. Large facility offering used car parts. K&R, they buy junk cars, auto wrecks, family business, 30 years serving their customers, guaranteed quality. Call K&R Auto Salvage today at 353-9200, 353-9200 for K&R Auto Salvage. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show.
In Rhode Island, big is more than the size of a Newport mansion. Big is how Rhode Island business is thinking. It's also why more companies look to Signature Commercial Banking from Bank RI. Because with the expertise of Bank Rhode Island's commercial banking team and the resources to help companies achieve even bigger goals, thinking big in business means thinking first of Bank RI. Signature Commercial Banking from Bank RI. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm on the road and my ride is going strong.
At Paul Massey Chevrolet, you get the lowest price guaranteed every day with Rhode Island's only true one price on our exciting lineup of Chevrolets. That's the one price guarantee, and it's only at Paul Massey, Rhode Island's number one Chevrolet dealer. Lease a 2019 Equinox LT all-wheel drive for $179 a month for 39 months with $2,988 due at signing. So shop Paul Massey, where every vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest one price.
My Paul Massey ride.
Paul Massey Buick GMC South is New England's number one Buick dealer with the area's largest selection. And Rhode Island's number one GMC dealer, where every day you'll find the lowest price with our one price guarantee. Lease a 2019 Terrain front-wheel drive SLE for $198 a month for 39 months with $1,988 due at signing.
My Paul Massey ride.
Great selection, top-notch service, and the lowest one price only at Paul Massey.
Well, folks, it's John DePietro. Listen, enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Tomorrow. Now, tonight at 5 o'clock, Channel 12 releasing latest poll races, at least for governor. I believe governor and Senate. I don't know, actually, but definitely for governor. And then we'll have a better idea. And then tomorrow, we are 1 week away from the election. Tomorrow is 1 week away from the election. Listen, enjoy this Monday. Remember, follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show and visit the website, DePietro.com, DePetro.com, the official website of The Independent Man. And then follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show. Enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow morning right here at 11.
WNRI Woonsocket.
You win.